Well, happy Sabbath to you all. Greetings to Kansas City as well, tuning in. Welcome also to the Wichita brethren. Wish I was with you all. Wish we could be there today. Of course, still the need to quarantine, but happy Sabbath and hope y'all are doing well. Wish we were there with you all. Thought I would take a couple minutes and just go over just a few announcements and maybe some updates on some individuals as well. First, I just wanted to let you know that, you know, we are doing pretty well here in Lewisburg. Last Thursday, and my fever broke, really started feeling better. The boys are really doing well. Katie has been rather fatigued, but overall, she, you know, she still has the cough as well. But overall, she seems to be doing pretty well, so I wanted to give you an update there. Holly Beyer, many of you have asked about her. She seems to continue to improve. She does have a follow-up visit with the doctor in a couple weeks. They want to check her lungs and make sure everything with the pneumonia is healing properly. But overall, her energy is really there, she says, and she said that she is feeling a lot better, so she appreciates all the prayers. Of course, we know about Steve Stafford as well, and the update with that was sent out regarding the COVID, and we're just very thankful. It seems obvious that God intervened for Steve, that just the dramatic recovery that he experienced this past week, and so we pray that God will continue to strengthen him as well. I don't have an update on Kabani Banda and his health with the COVID-19. So please remember Kabani Banda and all of the members, Kansas, Missouri, nationwide. There are so many being affected with COVID right now. Just continue to pray for God's protection and healing and help during these times. Also had a prayer request that went out on Elifazi Salawila, the pastor of the church in Malawi. A week ago, Mr. Salawila began to experience fever and body pains, expecting malaria. He tested as negative, but then after a week on Monday, January 18th, he was found, found to have the malaria parasite. So a week's fever and pain have seriously weakened Mr. Salawila. He needs our prayers for a quick recovery. I don't know if any of you received an email today, this past week from Life Open Truth, but because I had requested different educational material in the past, booklets, I received an option to pre-register for a new educational material that the church will be putting out. So maybe some of you received that as well, but I wanted to give you a heads up on what is coming. But it gave me the option to pre-register for an in-depth and interactive Bible study course is designed to help you take a deep dive into studying the Bible. The course is composed of 11 PDF lessons that you can either print out or complete online. Each lesson concludes with a quiz so you can access what you learned before continuing on to the next lesson. The new course will go live in a few short weeks, but you can sign up now to be notified as soon as enrollment is open. This is on the Life Open Truth website, but you would have received a link directly from the Life Open Truth. Maybe Eric Jones, I believe, might have received an email from him. And with all of the craziness that has been going on in our world, it's nice that there is something out there to maybe dive into that is going to be good for our minds. There's only so much of the news and media that we can take and the craziness in this world. So it's good that we have an outlet where we can dive into God's Word, and looking forward to being involved in that program by studying. I also wanted to let you know that I've been asked to be the assistant festival coordinator in Branson, Missouri for the Feast of Tabernacles. So I am excited to help Mr. Blackwell out, but I wanted to give you a heads up. If these meetings do come about on February the 2nd and 3rd. Right now we're scheduled on February the 2nd and 3rd to have in-office meetings in Dallas. That may change. Don't know at this point. But if that's the case, I would be out of town at least on February the 2nd and 3rd for the Feast of Tabernacle Coordinators meeting. And that is temporarily scheduled in Dallas. Hopefully we'll be able to still have the in-person meeting, but your prayers are appreciated that the meetings will go very well and that they will be productive meetings. And we do have three new teen podcasts that are out. Our Perfect Standard, New Life, and The Broken Window Theory. So I did want to bring that to your attention. And just a few announcements for you that I wanted to share with you before the sermon. So now I'll change gears a little bit, and we'll jump into the sermon portion. Last sermon was on the four enemies of endurance, and I concluded with Romans 15, verses 4 and 5, and this is actually where I would like to begin today. The sermon is not on endurance, but as you'll see, something that helps us with endurance. Romans 15, in verses 4 and 5, and I'll read it from the English Standard Version. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. God's word is given to us for our instruction, for our encouragement, and so that we have hope. The enduring word of God is for our encouragement and so that we do have hope and ultimately can endure to the end. But with all that's going on in the world today, all the chaos that surrounds, it's good to have hope and it's good to have encouragement. And it's a wonderful blessing that God has given us, His Holy Scripture and His Word for our encouragement, for our benefit, and for our instruction in righteousness. So we can be more like Him. But we are in training right now, and we are learning to be more like Him. and during these extraordinary times that we are in, we should be clinging to God's Word even more. We need God's Word in our lives, and we need it to be in our heart and in our mind so badly in this world. These are extraordinary times that we are living in, and we knew these days would come about. And we see that the world is heading in a certain direction overall. We know the direction that it's going. We knew these days would come about, and there have been times where things have slowed down, but we're still heading in that same direction. And we need God's Word. We need to make sure that we are studying God's Word. We are to be training in it at this point in our lives. With the things and the way that things are, it is so important that we cling to God's Word and to continue to train with the sword that God has given us to train with. We each have been given a sword. God's Word is the is our sword, and we should use it. We need to take it out of our sheath, so to speak, and we need to use our sword. We need to make sure that our sword is being used. God has given us His Word to train with so that we can endure the spiritual battles that we are in. You know, how long would a warrior survive? How long would a warrior endure if he lost his sword, if he didn't have his sword, if he only had his defensive armor? You know, he would not endure the blows to the armor. To not have that sword, it would take its toll. And we need the sword that God has given us so that we can stand against our adversary. Ephesians 6 and verse 11. Ephesians 6 and verse 11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So all of the entire armor of God is so important in the battle that we are in. And today I want to focus on that sword that God gives us. Are we utilizing our sword? How sharp is your sword? And are we training properly with the sword? The closer that we get to Christ's return, the more urgent it becomes to use our sword. We need to know what's in the Bible. We need to use our sword. It is very important. Excuse me. So how familiar are you with your sword? How is your training going? How sharp is your sword? Do you maintain your sword properly? Is it properly sharpened? Or is it dull? Is it still in the sheath? How sharp is your sword? This is what I would like to look on today. And it's going to be a bit of, I guess, a training session about how we should use our sword and the training involved with using our sword. But, you know, even today, the Bible is such a well-known book. It still is the world's best-selling book and the most widely distributed book. But how many are actually using that book? That book that is in many people's homes. How many know what's in the pages of the Bible? How well do you know what is in the pages of the Bible, of the Scripture, the Holy Scripture? There's a comedian, Michael Jr., and he took a stroll in the largest mall out there, the Mall of America. I assume that's the largest mall still today, but at the time that he did this, it was the largest mall in America. And he went up to individuals in the mall and he asked them to finish the sentence. He'd say, I want you to finish the sentence. And it's from the Bible. And he said, you know, first he started out, he said, God so loved the world that, and they were to complete the sentence. And he got a variety of answers. Some said that he made the earth in 6 days. That was one of the answers. Another one said that, you know, God so loved the world that he made it very nice. God so loved the world that he gave Adam and Eve of the land. So he was trying, they were trying to bring something up biblically there. And then one got it right and said, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He said, who's the son? He didn't know. What's the name of the son? I don't know. So another question they asked is, finish the sentence, I can do all things through, and their answer was love. Another answer was gifts. Another answer was, sadly, basketball. and he said, have you ever read the Bible at all? And he, no, have not. So it really was sad, but that was most of their answers for them all was, I don't really read the Bible. And he knew that because their answers said so. What about us? Are we studying the Bible? Are we studying the Bible every day? Are we using our sword? How sharp is your sword? The most widely distributed book in the world. And with all of technology speeding up, with all of life's distractions, there are many distractions right now. How much time and effort are we spending in the pages of the Bible, in the inspired word of God? It's a part of our training. We're also told in 1 Peter to always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Now, why do you have hope? Why do I have hope? And we are to do this with meekness and with fear. Why do I have hope, though? Is our hope, is it in reincarnation? Is that why we have hope? Is it Buddhism? Is it Taoism? Is it what Confucius said? Is it the Book of Mormon? Why do we have hope? Is it because of what John Smith said? Why do you and I have hope? God's word is what gives us hope. And we are in training right now. We must train with our sword. Roman soldiers had extensive training with their sword. Before ever going into battle, they had to train with it. They had to know how to use it. The Roman soldier could not be sent into battle without having extensive training with their sword, with their gladius. So we are in training right now. We are in training in righteousness. And this is what God's Spirit trains us in. It is in righteousness. And studying God's word is a vital key in that training. If we refuse that training in righteousness, how will we be able to grow in stature? How will we be able to be full and complete? How will we be fully equipped if we're not training properly right now? Because that training, and that training that God's word provides, is training in righteousness. It would be like going to battle without a sword, not equipped. We want to be equipped, especially in the days that we are in right now. We want to be equipped. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Second Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, there is a lot in this scripture. We really break down this scripture. I'm going to focus on one part of it at this part, and that is the instruction in righteousness. This is such a vital key for us to understand because we are in training right now. English Standard Version says, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So this is a major part of the Holy Scripture that is for our training, not just random training, but it is training in righteousness. It's how we train in being more like God, to know how to be more like God. This is the Word of God. He is teaching us how to be more equipped. You know, there is extensive training that we are to be in. Just as any soldier goes through training, some would used to train with wooden swords before ever taking that real sword. They would train with a sword that was made of wood, and it was even heavier than a normal sword. They had to train. They had to train so they would be eventually equipped for battle. One of the top movie trilogies of all time is Star Wars, and of course they use lightsabers, which are these sword-like weapons. And, you know, there's extensive training from a very young age. If they wanted to learn to be a Jedi and how to use the lightsaber, they train them at a very young age. And the training that we are involved in right now is much greater than any fictitious power to be obtained. We're talking about training for the kingdom of God, training for eternal life, training for inheriting all things with Christ. And what he inherited, and he's sharing in his glory, and for us to share with that, we are in training now to receive unbelievable power. But we are in training right now. We are training by God's word. Our training starts now. And we're training to be eventually spirit beings in the family of God. That is amazing. To see him as he is, and to have access to unbelievable power, to be like him, to see him as he is. For the rest of the sermon, I want to look at our training with our sword. How do we keep our sword sharp? We are in training. So let's look at different aspects of training and how we are to train. The first point I would like to look at is training starts with the heart. It always starts with the heart because you will only train. This is more of a heart issue. You only train as much as you love the instrument in training? Do you love your sword? Do you love your sword? In the latest Discern magazine, there was a very good article. I recommend reading this article, but it's written by Mr. Tom Clark. And it says, the title is, "What Are You Passionate About?" And passionate prioritizing is part of what he goes over. You know, we will passionately prioritize those things in which we have love and affection for. Do we love God's word? Does it excite us? Are we zealous about it? Do we enjoy studying God's word? Or is it something, well, I got to get my time in? Or do we really enjoy it? Do we love it? Do we have an affection for it? You know, those who play musical instruments and are able to progress and get better, they're, you know, whether it be the drums, piano, guitar, whatever it may be, those individuals who typically advance are those that really enjoy the instrument. They love it. It's not a burden to them. I picked up the guitar at age 17, and I just loved it. I loved the way the strings felt when I strummed it. I loved the feel of the neck and the wood and the echo. You know, I just loved the guitar. I loved practicing. It was something I enjoyed. I was zealous for it, and I just loved it. I enjoyed it. It was fascinating to me. You know, the samurai sword and those who have been samurai warriors, there was an affection towards that sword because there was honor, there was respect tied to the sword. These swords were passed down from generation to generation. Typically, there were stories tied to this. They told a story. Those swords told a story from Japanese culture. And as a samurai warrior, these swords were highly valued, and they loved their sword. It had great meaning, great honor to them. Those swords meant something. And, you know, does the sword of the Spirit, does God's word, does it fascinate us? Do we love it? Do we have an affection for it? Do we have zeal towards it? Do we love God's word? It is the very word of God. Do we love it? Do we value it? If we do, we will study it. We will enjoy it. It's not going to be a burden to us. We will enjoy studying. It won't be a chore. God's word has been passed down to us from generation to generation. The Bible should be fascinating to us. It should mean a lot to us. You know, God has allowed his word to be preserved and passed down. There are men and women who have given their lives so that God's word would be preserved. You know, some men have risked it all trying to translate the Bible. How much do you value God's word? Does it mean something to you? Do you love it? You know, in 1995, with the split in the church, one of the biggest challenges in the church, you know, the people that you thought were rock solid were weak. Their foundation was like a deck of cards. It collapsed. Their house collapsed. Their spiritual house collapsed. It had to do with the love of the truth. Nobody would know, because you would just see their outward appearance, what they were doing behind the scenes. Did they really love God's word? It showed. It eventually showed. And that's why their house fell so quickly. They didn't have a love for the truth. They may have had a love for the organization. They may have loved the people in the church. But many did not love the truth of God. Many did not love the scriptures. Many did not. They did not have that love for God's word. And I know some were deceived as well. We know that. And that, you know, the certain responsibility, we know that the deceiver has with that. But some were deceived. We know that. But some did not love the truth. Some did not love God's word. You know, we know that part of how strong our spiritual foundation is has to do with how deep we will dig the foundation. Part of it is on diligence on our part and working hard. You know, we think about building a house. If you're building a house for someone else, you might not care. It might not dig as hard, may not dig as deep in building that foundation. But if you truly love the house that you're building, maybe think about it as building your dream house. You know, you're going to work extra hard. You're going to do the very best, especially if you have involvement in building that house. You're going to be involved in that. You're going to work hard and you're going to dig deep. And we must be firmly connected to the Word of God. We must dig deep. We must do our part. But that has to do, part of that has to do with how much we love the truth of God. How much do we love the Scriptures? How much do we love our sword? We must have the love for God's Word. Revelation 2 and verse 2. Revelation 2 and verse 2. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot hear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. This is the church of Ephesus. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work. So what is a part of the first works? And when God calls an individual into the truth, truth is a vital part, his word. He draws us to Christ, who is the word, the logos. He draws us to Christ. He draws us to the truth of God. We must stay connected to God in this way as a part of the first works. We must not leave that first love. We have a love for the truth of God, for his word. You know, just as the parable of the sower, you know, some received the truth with great joy, and then other things became of greater treasure with their time and effort, and they just fell by the wayside. They, you know, it only, they did not bear fruit. It only went to a certain point, and then they stopped bearing fruit because they did not have that love for the truth. Do not have a love for the truth. Of course, Satan wants to steal that joy and that love and affection for God's word and truth. But we must have the same mindset of King David. He treasured God's word greatly. Let's turn to Psalm 119 and verse 161. Psalm 119 in verse 161. It says, princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. It is very important to David, one who finds great treasure. Do we truly stand in awe of God's word? Is it truly a great treasure to us? People have died to preserve it. Do we value that? Some that weren't even converted. And do we give, you know, some have given their lives and they were not even converted. What would we do for the preservation of God's word? In the Middle Ages, when all copies of the Bible were confiscated, members of the church had to memorize entire books of the Bible to help preserve it. Whole sections to help preserve it. How would we do it if we had to memorize a book for ourselves? We would be diligent. We would take the time to do that. How would we do that? Today we live in a society with a very short attention span. And, you know, sometimes it seems like there's a bit of laziness, maybe, instant gratification. Quickly, we want things turned out quickly. And to take the time to memorize an entire book of the Bible, that would take some time and effort, some diligence, and it would be very challenging to do, especially in a instant gratification society. But we need to work at making God's word a part of us, a part of our mind, a part of our heart. We need God's word to be a part of our heart and mind. We need to love God's word. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. all the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Now, if we believe that this is one of the best gifts that God has ever given man, we should use the Bible. We should study the Bible. We should demonstrate how much we love and value God's word and to be diligent with it. Acts 17 and verse 10. Acts 17 and verse 10. The Berean Jews were willing to accept the apostles, but they still studied to prove God's word is true, or prove it in the scripture, also what they were saying. And so they had a good balance. You know, they proved it. Acts 17 and verse 10. Acts 17 and verse 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away that night, away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they had a diligence about them. They had a zeal about them. And they studied the word of God. What did Mr. Armstrong used to say? Don't believe me. Prove it. Prove it in the Bible. Prove it from reading the Bible. Don't believe me. Trust, but verify. Prove it yourself. And the Bereans set a good example of studying with eagerness and zeal, and studying God's word, searching the scriptures daily. We must search the scriptures daily. Have a love for God's word. Jesus Christ, his standard, his values, his principles, he valued the word of God. He valued the things of God. He was all about his Father's business. You know, when Christ drove out the money changers out of the temple, his disciples remembered what was written in the scriptures, that zeal for your house has eaten me up. And, you know, we're each building a house. We are. And we must look at it as our dream house that we're building, I guess. How much effort and how much love do we have for that? What are we building? What are we zealous for? Do we passionately prioritize our lives correctly? Do we love the word of God? The word of God that trains us in his righteousness. Now we'll go on to point number two. Sorry, my nose is itchy. Point number two, our training involves handling our sword with fear and trembling. Handling our sword with fear and trembling. There must be a respect and a fear for God's word. Now, as if we would handle God's word in a very sharp way, or I guess, let's say we have a very sharp knife in our hands. You know, what would we do if we had a very sharp knife that we were with? We would give it extra attention. We would be extra careful with it. We would have, you know, hold it with care. There's these very sharp knives. I think Cutco is some of them, and they're very expensive. Many will them to their other family members, and they seem to never go dull. And just very nice set of knives, but they're very sharp. You would not handle this particular knives as you same way as you would a butter knife. You just would not do that. You must hold it carefully, and you want to make sure that you give that respect to that sharp knife. There's a new Disney movie that came out, Mulan, and it had a lot to do with training with a sword. You could tell they value that sword, honor, respect. There are certain engravings on that sword. And they held that sword with honor, with respect, with reverence, with fear. They had a deep respect and reverence towards holding that sword. And we need to uphold God's word in that same way. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. This is someone that God will take notice of, who has a fear and a reverence, who looks at God's word and looks at it in relationship to their life. Well, if God's word says this, then I need to change my life. Someone who values God's word in this way has a fear and a reverence towards God's word, who trembles at God's word, is not just going to gloss over what they know to do based on God's word. They say, well, this is God's word. I need to value this in my life. I value this, show honor to the word of God. We must uphold God's word. I think part of that, and one that values God's word and one who does not, has to do with the faith of believing that God's word is true. Do you really believe that God's word is true? If you do, then there's going to be a fear, you know, to uphold God's word, you know, to not forsake the assembling. And, you know, do we really believe that? Do we obey? Do we believe it? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. All scripture, you know, do we believe this? Do we believe this? Now, there's other reasons. I'll go over a couple, well, about five proofs that help us have faith in God's word. But if we just took God's word as what it says, do we believe this? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That first part, the Greek word for the phrase by inspiration of God, is theopneustos, which literally means God breathed. Do we believe that the scripture is God breathed? That's amazing. If we believe this, we have faith in that. Do we believe that? Is that real to us? Then we'll strive to change our life in according to what's in the scripture. It certainly does take faith to believe that the scriptures are God's word. It takes more faith, I believe, to not believe that God's word is true. We'll go over some of these proofs very quickly. In this section that we're looking at, being in fear, being in awe of God's word. I'd like to briefly give you five proofs that the scriptures are the word of God. And you can do a lot of research yourself on this. It's a fascinating study. But the Bible is confirmed by history and by archaeology, specifically a good study on the Dead Sea Scrolls. Secular history proves this as well. Number three, the Bible is confirmed by fulfilled prophecy. Many examples. They have very detailed prophecies in Daniel where they came true. Very detailed prophecies with nations, with kings. Bible prophecies are continuing to be fulfilled. Even today, we see certain fulfillments. The Bible is confirmed by the unity of the writings, of the writers. There's a harmony there, an indescribable harmony. And it is amazing, the unity. The Bible is confirmed by the unity of the writers. They wrote in such unity and such purpose, and they reveal the plan of God. I'd like to read a section here. I believe this was in one of the classes from Mr. Franks. I believe this was from one of the doctrines classes that I had this from. I believe this was from him. But it says, it is written by more than 40 authors from every walk of life, a political leader trained at the Egyptian universities, Moses, a fisherman, Peter, a cattle herdsman, Amos, a great military general, Joshua, a high royal court official, Nehemiah, a prime minister under two governments, Daniel, a doctor, Luke, a warrior king, David, the wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, a priest, Ezra, a tax collector, Matthew, a rabbi, Paul, plus several prophets, scholars, and peasants. It was written in different places, in the wilderness, Moses, in a dungeon, Jeremiah, in a palace, Daniel, inside prison walls, Paul, while traveling, Paul and Luke, while banned to a small island, John, several during the rigors of the military campaign. It was written during different moods, some writing from the heights of joy and some from the depths of despair. It was written from three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, and three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. The writings themselves belong to a great number of literary types. They include history, law, civil, criminal, ethical, ritual, religious poetry, didactic treatise, lyrical poetry, parable and allegory, biography, personal correspondence, personal memoir and diaries, plus prophecy. And yet, in it all, there's a unity. There's a unity which binds it all together. It's fascinating. For there to be this same type of unity, you know it's the divine inspiration of God. Statistically, it would be basically impossible. If you don't believe the Bible, then you don't believe in statistics then, too. It's kind of what science proves with the human body as well, and the cells that work in the human body. How could this be? It takes more faith to not believe in a divine creator. The evidence backs up Jesus Christ's declaration of John 10 and verse 35. We won't turn there, but he says the scriptures cannot be broken. There is a harmony of the scriptures. There is a unity of the scriptures. And it is proof that the Bible is true, and that the scriptures are the very word of God, God breathed. Another proof that the Bible is true is that if you follow the instructions, it will strengthen your faith. There's laws, and it comes true. It will be true. If you believe in gravity, and you believe in gravity even more, if you throw an apple up in the air, it comes back down. There's a law there. That's amazing. There's a law there. It goes down every time. There's gravity. It's there. It happens. There's a law. The Bible is confirmed true by living it, which strengthens our faith. Living faith. Now, when you live according to the Bible, you see certain things that are written in the Bible that come true. Tithing is one of those principles. To see the blessings poured out by God through tithing. It takes faith to do so, but in doing so, you will believe the Bible even more and what it says. Generosity. Those who practice generosity. Blessings and cursings of modern day Israel. Now you can see that the more perverted, the more immoral we become as a nation, those physical blessings are slipping away, gradually being taken away. Blessings for obedience. Our nation needs to repent. There's the Proverbs. You correct a fool and they hate you. There's a proverb that says that. You get involved in an argument that's not yours, like grabbing a dog by the ears. That doesn't feel very good. Gonna get hurt. The Bible is true. What the Bible says is true. The blessings tied to keeping the Sabbath. The consequences for sexual immorality. The Bible is true. We must realize that God's word is living. It's a living sword that he's given us. And it is true. And the more we realize this, the more we will handle God's word with fear and trembling. We will value that sword and hold it in awe. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, it has to do with allowing it to train us. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. And to handle this very sharp sword, allow it to affect us in our lives. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the righteous of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We need to look at God's word in that way, knowing that it is sharp and it can affect us, but we want it to affect us. We want it to change us. It is for our instruction in righteousness. It is for our correction. It is for our reproof. That is why we have the very word of God available to us to change us, to affect us, so that we do have a fear for it too. Next point in our training with our sword is to realize, that the entire word of God is for our training, the entire word of God. If you were to train with a sword early in history, you wouldn't just train with the handle. Got my sword, ready to go. Where's the rest of it? Oh, I just used the handle. That's it. it's silly. The entire word of God is how we train. We don't just read the Psalms and the Proverbs. That's it. And we need a variety in our diet. We need to use the entire word of God, not just the Old and New, not just the New Testament, but the Old and New Testament. All of God's word is inspired. All of God's word, as we're said, all of the scriptures are for our correction, for our training in righteousness. All. This is not the way many feel today about the Bible. They feel like the entire Bible is relevant. Well, the Old Testament, that was just good stories. Not true. I don't believe those. Just good stories to share with the kids. The entire Word of God is for our benefit. And we need to take time and study all of the scriptures. And when we study God's Word, we don't just take certain sections and then never read the other. We want a balanced diet. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Christ tells us the importance of God's word, and not just part of God's word. Matthew 4 and starting in verse 1. Matthew 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." You know, what is most important, even after 40 days of fasting, he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone," not just the physical bread, "but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Every word, not part of God's word. Every word. We need to study the word of God. And it all fits. we form our frame with those very clear scriptures. And everything else fits within. You can't exclude scripture. It all fits. And we are to live by every word of God that proceeds from the mouth of God. We want a balanced diet. As we train, we don't use part of the sword. We want to know how the whole sword is. And we don't just eat macaroni and cheese every day. If we do, we won't get the nourishment that our body needs. And we need a variety. Now, even with COVID, and I've lost my taste and smell, which is really weird in itself. And, I look forward to that, those senses coming back. Those are gifts from God. But even then, I didn't just eat applesauce every day. I still had a craving for other things. And, we all have those cravings for other things. It makes sense that we have all of these variety that God has given us for our benefit. The blessing of partaking in a variety of nourishing foods for our benefit. And we want to study God's word, a variety. He provides us a banquet, everything we need, but we study God's word as a variety. Thomas Jefferson, he was famous for creating his Jefferson Bible. He did not believe that all of the scriptures were necessary. There's a version of the New Testament Gospels that included Jesus' teachings and ethical actions, but it excluded all his miracles and references to his divinity. Jefferson's rationale was that he respected Jesus Christ as a great teacher of morality, but he did not believe that he was God in the flesh. And so he's going to alter the Bible. He's going to create his own doctrine. He's going to create his own scriptures. He's going to get away from that scripture that's been given by the inspiration of God. It's dangerous. The Bible is very clear. We are not to take this approach with its contents. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Psalm 119 and verse 160. Says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of your word is truth. That's how we should look at the scriptures, of the Holy Scriptures. The entirety is true, and it's for our benefit. We need it. And it was God who inspired both the Old and the New Testament. And Jesus Christ supported this. He supported the Old Testament. Now, here are some points to consider and regarding the Old Testament and the importance of it. Just jot this down, but we won't turn to these scriptures. But Jesus Christ regularly referred to the Old Testament and stated that the scriptures cannot be broken. Jesus Christ countered Satan's temptations by referencing Old Testament scriptures. At the end of Christ's earthly ministry, Jesus Christ gave legitimacy and credence to the Old Testament. And Jesus Christ mentioned half of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses in Exodus 20. And Jesus taught that by obeying these beneficial laws holds eternal life. It leads to eternal life, the obedience of the laws that are taught in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul confirmed the Old Testament. And when Paul wrote his epistles, the only holy scriptures that he would refer to in existence were the books of the Old Testament. And Paul frequently quoted them. The Apostle Peter supported the Old Testament too. In our training, we want to make sure we have a balanced diet, that we're studying God's Word in a balanced way, both Old and New Testaments. And how do we do this? It leads us to the next point. We need to have purpose and a goal in mind for our study. We need to have a purpose and a goal in mind for our study. If you get a new drum set, you're not going to learn very much if all you do is just start beating on it. You don't have any direction. Animals from the Muppets, just kind of going wild on the drums. Take a guitar, have no idea what a chord is, just start strumming. Are you really going to learn anything? There takes some discipline. there takes discipline to learning a new instrument. It takes discipline to know how to use a sword properly. You don't just take a sword out, just start chopping down tree limbs. Go out there and use it. You'll dull the blade. Or you don't just start, beating on a tree with it. You have to, there's technique. There must be direction to our study to have a more beneficial study. We need to do this. We need to plan. These are some practical points, but we need to plan for our study. Picking up the Bible and randomly reading a section is okay as an exception, I would say. But we need to think ahead and be organized. We don't just want to randomly make that our Bible study. We're just randomly, just a little nugget here and a little nugget there. So we want to keep a list of things that we wish to study and then implement that. Then you can begin to work through the list. If we have decided, each time to sit down and study, what we want to study, if we've already decided that, it's going to take some of that pressure out too. We have a direction. We're not going to lose time. We'll have more of a focus. You won't be building a very sure house if you're just random brick here, random brick there. You know, that can be discouraging as well, rather than inspiring, than to take certain scripture sections and go through. It could be more encouraging to do it that way. So maybe you want to go through the Gospels prior to the Passover. Maybe you want to go through the book of Hebrews prior to Passover. Maybe you want to go through Exodus and review that in detail prior to the Passover. You know, think about things and a direction on how you want to study. Maybe you want to go through the fundamental beliefs of the church. Get the study papers out. Go through the scriptures on those fundamental beliefs. Looking up the scriptures. Maybe you want to go through the Bible in a year from start to finish. And you do that, and maybe you're doing that as a part of your daily study, as a couple chapters, 2 to 3 chapters. And then you're also taking sections that you're going through, you know, as well. You know, maybe in the morning you're doing 2 to 3 chapters, and then maybe in the evening you're actually, you know, starting on that section of the Gospels, where you're going through the Gospels. Maybe you want to go through the Bible in a year, just as I mentioned. But there are different approaches, and we want to study with purpose and direction. And there's a plan, just as we would build a house. There's a plan. Or to grow in grace and knowledge. And there's a building process. He wants us to grow. He wants us to continue to grow and not stay drinking milk. He wants us to continue to grow and eat meat of God's word. Isaiah 28 in verse 10. Isaiah 28 and verse 10. Isaiah 28 and verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 9 here. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And we study the Bible. There's a plan in our building process, here a little, there a little, but we continue to build and grow. And God desires for us to do that. Also, as we study too, we study for ourselves. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we don't study for our spouse, and our spouse doesn't study for us. The husband studies, the wife studies, they each study. The husband does not study for the spouse. And, you know, there are some, because of age, they just can't see very good anymore. They can't read the scriptures. I know some wives do read for their spouse or husband, or a husband does do read for their wife, or some have a book on or the Bible on CD because they just can't physically read. They just can't do that the same. There's some who have difficulty reading just in general. Some have used, there's a Bible that's out there that's an easier read Bible. It's a translation, it's easier English, it's just basic English and easier to understand for those who have difficulty reading. Some have learned to read on that Bible as well. So there's different ways to go about things, and in different circumstances that might be the exception. But we work at it. We do what we can do. We do the very best that we can. Last point in our training today, take time to train. How much time do you put into your studying? It takes time. It takes diligence. Use your sword. There's a letter that John Quincy Adams wrote his son, George Washington Adams, in 1811. But he talks about the importance of studying the Bible. I apologize that I've had to clear my throat so much during this, but appreciate you all bearing with me. He says, "But I hope that you have now arrived at an age to understand that reading, even of the Bible, by the use and improvement what you have read, with the help of your own reflections, young people sometimes boast of how many books or how much they have read, when instead of boasting that they ought to be ashamed of having wasted so much time of so little profit." Of course, he's talking about more reading for pleasure and entertainment. How many other things in our lives do we do for entertainment that takes away from having a balanced study life with the Bible? "I advise you, my son, in whatsoever you read, and most of all in reading the Bible, to remember that it is for the purpose of making you wiser and more virtuous. I have myself for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. I have always endeavored to read it with the same spirit and temper of mind, which I now recommend to you." You don't have to answer this out loud, but how many of you sitting there today, how many of you have read the Bible through from start to finish, from Genesis to Revelation? How many have done that? He made it a point to read it through every year. Do we read the Bible from start to finish? Have we done that in our life one time? How often do you take time to eat? We need to realize we need the nourishment that God's Word provides. We're reminded that we need to eat because our stomach tells us every time. But there are certain red flags that are out there spiritually that say, hey, I need to study more. That feeling of emptiness sometimes stems from not receiving that nourishment from God's Word. It is a big way that God feeds us. We need to study God's Word. If we aren't studying God's Word daily, we will become spiritually malnourished. And if we stay away from it for a long time, we will starve spiritually. Same in marriage. You can starve a marriage just not giving it that time, not passionately prioritizing. We must take the time and study God's Word and to be diligent. Two scriptures to conclude. If I can get through it. Two scriptures to conclude. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 14. "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words of no profit to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We want to be that worker who does not need to be ashamed, who's not ashamed. There's a put in the time. There's a diligence there. We must keep at it. Sometimes a study turns out to be longer because you really dive into it and it excites you. And that's good. We want to be diligent with our study. There are people who are very excitable and love to start something, but then don't finish it. And if there's a proclivity for an individual to do this in other projects, they will have the same proclivity in studying the Bible. So that's a habit that could be worked on even outside of Bible study that might help with Bible study, being able to follow through on that trait. Well, we want to be a worker who is not ashamed. And final scripture, Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23. Colossians 1 and verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Here's where our focus should be, to continue in the faith, to be grounded, to be steadfast in the gospel message, in the word of God, which gives us our hope. And we want to stick to the trunk of the tree. Don't get out on a limb. There's a core message that Christ taught and we should cling to. And so as things continue to become more chaotic and crazy in this world that we are in, we want to cling to what gives us stability and hope and encouragement, and that is the very word of God. The scriptures give us hope in a hopeless world, God's word is that stabilizing factor in a chaotic world. So let's all study with zeal, by passionately prioritizing God's word in our life. It is amazing what it has gone through in the preservation so that we can continue to have that hope and encouragement for those days ahead. We need to be firmly anchored in God's word, and we need God's word so much to be a part of our lives. So let's all study with zeal and share that same love of the Holy Scriptures, which is God-breathed, the very word of God. So you all take care, and I hope you all have a wonderful Sabbath, and hopefully we'll see you next Sabbath, and as we'll attempt to, God willing, do the full circuit. So take care. Have a wonderful Sabbath.